Yesterday, Josie and I celebrated 23 years of happily wedded marital bliss. Being married to me has got to be pretty amazing, right? If you're an intercessor, you need to pray for Josie. So, I would say we were talking and just kind of reminiscing, and we've learned a lot over these 23 years. We were also recently doing some marriage, premarital counseling with a couple, and just kind of talking about the things that I've learned. And man, I wish I had had somebody in my life to teach me some things, especially when we were newly married. And I didn't really. I just didn't have that kind of mentor in my life until later. So I did a lot of things stupid. I wasn't a great husband at the beginning because I learned a lot, and I know more now than I did then. Just if you go back to your childhood, whatever age you are, don't you know more than you did 5 or 10 years ago? Like, aren't you a little smarter? Like, I'll be honest, some of you are like, no, the older I get, the less I know. I will say this, when I was a little kid, John Mulaney has the joke that when I was a kid, as I got older, I certainly thought that quicksand was going to be a bigger problem than it was actually in real life, because every cartoon had somebody falling into quicksand. The same thing is true. When I was a little kid, I was more afraid of getting a tetanus shot than I was on stepping on a rusty nail, because the kids that had the tetanus shots back then, they had to get like 10 shots in their stomach. So, I mean, that's how old I am. Some of you people are like, wow, you're old. But if a kid had to get a tetanus shot, I mean, I was like, I'd rather step on a rusty nail than get a tetanus shot. I've learned, don't lick a steak knife. That's just a thing. You know, you can lick a butter knife, but don't lick a steak knife. These are just things I've learned. I've learned that rice cakes are basically the same thing as eating a foam coffee cup, but foam coffee cups taste better. You know, I'm trying to lose a little weight here and there. I've also learned, never take a sleeping pill and a laxative at the same night. I've learned things. I've learned things as I've gotten older. And as we learn, as we grow, we like to mark off occasions when the baby first rolls over, when the baby first stands. As soon as a kid can stand up, you're going to hold the kid up against the doorpost and make a little mark. You know, that's where they first stood up. And then, you know, you keep marking. And we've moved so many times, literally around the world. I think we've moved 21 times in 23 years of marriage. So we had to put ours onto a piece of paper, and we would just like roll out the paper and tack it to the wall. And we had to mark our kids' growth. But that's what we do. We want to see the development as their stage of life. And that's how we judge, you know, the kids' growth. And that's how we judge their development. And that's how we do it physically. My question is, how do we do that spiritually? How do we know if we're growing spiritually? Because how do you measure your spiritual growth? You're in church every week. That's great. Maybe when this all started, you know, it was a message and you felt in your heart that you wanted to repent of sin and make Jesus Lord. So you raised your hand at the end of the service. You closed your eyes. You prayed that prayer and you meant it. You repented of your sin. You asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life. That's amazing. That's like step one. That's great. And then hopefully you were baptized. If you haven't been baptized in water, you absolutely have to be baptized in water. It is your next step of faith. We're not. Did you notice we didn't have any baptisms this morning? Because everybody gets born again every week, but ain't nobody want to sign up for baptism. If you've raised your hand, if you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, even if you've recommitted your life to the Lord, but you lived in sin for 5, 10, 15 years, you should be baptized. You should make that public declaration of your faith. But that's never here nor there. Raise your hand, pray, repent, make Jesus Lord, be baptized, go to church. These things are all good, but how do you know you're maturing in Christ? Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. Let's stop going over the basic teachings about Christ over and over and over again. Let's instead, church family, let's instead move on to become mature in our understanding. Surely we don't need to start all over again with the fundamental importance of repenting from your evil deeds and placing your faith in God. So I ask you again, are you growing spiritually? Please don't misunderstand me. Because our church specifically is going after people that don't know Jesus, or maybe they knew him as a young person and they've kind of fallen away, every single Sunday we are going to give people the opportunity to repent and make Jesus the Lord of their life. So we'll always have new people. We'll always have unchurched people. We'll always have brand new baby Christians. But I'm talking to you that have already been in the faith for more than 10 minutes. Are you growing spiritually? And sometimes we get confused about what spiritual growth is. So let me give you first, I'll tell you four things that spiritual growth is, but let me start with four things that spiritual growth is not. Number one, spiritual growth is not automatic. You got to work at it. You got to work at spiritual growth. It's not automatic. Babies have to learn to roll over, sit up, crawl, stand, walk, learn their ABCs, learn their 1-2-3s, learn to play that instrument, learn the dance, learn to do the recital, learn to do the speech. They have to learn. It takes a lot of work to grow up as a kid. That's why they eat so much and sleep so much. They're exhausted all the time because they're working so hard. So I'm asking you, are you working at your faith? Are you working at it, or are you just hoping it's just going to happen if you sit here every day? Because everybody grows old, but not everybody matures spiritually. That's probably going to be one of those Instagram things you see on Tuesday. I'll be like, and it's going to say, everybody grows old, but not everybody matures spiritually. That's kind of long for Instagram, isn't it? You can edit that. It's not automatic. You have to work at it. You should be almost tired spiritually, but not really, because he renews your strength. But you got to work at it. Number two, growth does not come with experience. It can, obviously, but it's not necessarily going to come if you sit in church every week. I know a lot of people that have been in church for years, but they've had very little spiritual growth. They don't know the word. They're Bible illiterate. They spend very little to no time in prayer. They rarely ever pray for somebody. They can't even pray with their own family. Just going to church does not automatically, having the experience does not mean you're spiritually growing. Number three, growth does not necessarily come with age. This is a little bit of a recap on number one, but I know a lot of 20-somethings in our church that are way more spiritually mature than 50s and 60-somethings, because these young people are hungry, man. They're going after it. They're running their race. Why is that? Well, it really goes back to number one. They're working at it. They're putting in the effort. They're putting in the time. They're worshiping. They're deciding. You know, when I grew up as a kid, I had to decide. You know, my parents on both sides had several different marriages and divorces. And, you know, I needed to decide. I wasn't going to get divorced. I was going to make a covenant to my wife forever. So I had to learn. I had to start over. I had to, as a 20-year-old, 22-year-old, say, I'm going to do things differently. So number one, that means I have to pursue a relationship with the Lord that's uncommon, that looks different. So I had to make a decision as a young person that my life was going to be different, that I was going to be a different kind. I was going to be an uncommon husband, an uncommon father, going to ministry and be an uncommon pastor. I did it on purpose, but I started out as a young person. So you young people, you continue to set the example. You do what, you know, Paul was telling his disciple, his spiritual son, Timothy, in 1 Timothy 4:12. You can write that down and study it later. He said, you set the example spiritually, young person. You can outrun the mature people spiritually. That's okay. But then it's also a challenge for the gray-haired folks. By the way, I have tons of gray hair. I just shaved my hair real short on the side so you can't see it. Probably won't dye it, because my wife was asking. She's like, there's a lot of gray up in there. Are you going to dye it? And I said, no, but I'm just going to keep shaving the sides of my head. So I'll trick people. But listen, gray-haired folks, you got young people that are running after you, and they ain't fooling around. So hopefully this will inspire you. This will encourage you. Let me ask you that question. You know, you're 45, 50 plus. Are you still spiritually maturing and growing? Psalm 92. This is good for everybody. The godly will flourish like a palm tree that grow like the cedars of Lebanon. They're transplanted to the Lord's own house. So this tree has been planted to the house of the Lord, and those roots go down deep into the soil of the Lord. So therefore, they flourish in the courts of our God. You should be flourishing in this church. This is good ground. This is a great church. You should be flourishing. Your roots should be down deep into a life group, deep down into a dream team, deep down into serving, deep down into the community. And then what happens is, look in verse 14, even in old age, you will still produce fruit. You will remain vital and green. If you're plugged into the house of the Lord at any age, if your roots are down deep into the house of the Lord, you will continue to produce fruit. They will declare, the Lord is just. He is my rock. There is no evil in him. So at whatever age you are, young or old, you should be pursuing the Lord and growing in your faith. Number four, this is the last thing of what growth is not. Growth doesn't come with information. Last week, I talked about knowing God. And I talked about knowing God in your head and in your heart. And obviously, I spent most of the time on our hearts. But I don't want to not talk about knowing God in your head. We do need to study the scriptures. We do need to study systematic theology. We do need to study the character and nature of our God. These things help, but it's not one or the other. It's both. You have to know the Lord in both your head and your heart. Don't you remember last week, some of the teachers of religious law, they asked Jesus, hey, Jesus, what is the number one commandment. We love keeping the commandments. What is number one? And Jesus said, you have to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So growth does not come simply educationally, academically, intellectually, although it can help. But you do have to have both. And my example for this, let's say, you guys know I'm not very musical, I'm not a piano player, but let's say I studied piano construction, and I had blueprints to a piano, and I had a CAD drawing in 3D that I could spin around and break apart. I even bought an old piano, and I tore it all apart in the garage, and I looked at all the pieces and parts, and I put it all back together. And then I studied music history, and I studied music theory, and I studied the greatest composers on the piano in all the world, but I never sat at the piano and played chopsticks. I wouldn't have learned anything. I would have intellectual knowledge, but I wouldn't know how to play the piano. I think a lot of people do that with church. They come to church week after week. They even go to Bible studies. They take notes. They look it up in the Greek and the Hebrew. That's very interesting. But until you apply that to your life and live out what God's called you to do, all you have is head knowledge, not heart knowledge. You have to do both. So, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. Therefore, New Life Family Church, as you have always obeyed, not only in Paul's presence, but also in his absence. Here's what we have to do. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Continue to work out your salvation. I'm glad you're saved. I'm glad you asked Jesus to be your Lord. But that is literally only the first step. Until you die, there's 9 billion more steps in growing. You've got to work at it. Man, you have to apply yourself. You have to work out. I think, look at what Paul's encouragement is. Work it out with fear and trembling. I think we take our spiritual development for granted. I think we take God for granted. I don't think we're really serious about our spiritual development and growth. We're challenged, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And if we take it for granted, we actually won't grow. And we'll be the kind of people that are only drinking milk spiritually forever when the Lord has called us to start having little baby food bottles and work our way up to T-bone steaks, hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. Dear New Life Family Church, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would to spiritual people. Shots fired. I had to talk to you as though you still belonged to this world and that you were an infant in Christ. That's cold. Paul said, I had to feed you milk, not solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger. And you're still not ready because you're controlled by your sinful nature. Let me tell you, if you're still controlled by lust, you're still controlled by pornography, you're still controlled by anger, you're still controlled by lying, you're still controlled by fear and depression and anxiety, I don't mean you struggle from time to time. I'm talking about controlled by these things. And yet you are a believer in Jesus. Paul's saying you're an infant in Jesus. And you need to go from milk to meat. You need to stop wearing diapers, move up to pull-ups, start potty training. The ushers are going to hand you an illustration that I'd like you to hold on to. And you can put it in your car, put it in your purse, put it in your office. It can be something that sits on your desk, or maybe you put it on a magnet on your refrigerator. And it'll be a reminder that I have to grow up spiritually. They're clean, by the way. They're fresh from the store. And I don't know what size they are, but I'd be willing to bet with all the babies we've had born in this church in the recent months, it's going to be showing up on a kid here in the next couple of days. That's my reminder. Milk is a good place to start, but too many people with spiritual babies. Y'all giggling like a bunch of junior high kids. It was my religious section. They're the ones that are giggling. It's time to move up to solid food. Let me ask you again, holding that diaper in your hand, or now you've thrown it under your chair. That was 36 cents well spent. Are you growing spiritually? When you read a scripture like that, and the Apostle Paul is being pretty harsh, does that speak to your heart? Are you still a spiritual infant, is what he said. Yes, you're saved, but you're still controlled by sin. Please don't misunderstand Paul. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying you're occasionally tempted to sin. I'm saying you're controlled by that sin. Because if so, Paul's saying you're not spiritually mature. You need to go into the deeper things of God. You need to eat the spiritual food, the meat of God, Even vegetarians, you have to eat some spiritual meat, some biblical meat. You're going to have to dive deeper into the things of God, deeper into his word, deeper into his presence, deeper into the spirit, to the gifts of the spirit, to the power of God. Ask yourself, am I growing in my faith? Am I growing in God's love? Am I growing in God's joy? Am I growing in God's peace and wisdom? Am I growing in the kingdom? Here are four truths about what it is to grow in the kingdom. Number one, growth takes time. We've already talked about this. It takes time. Now, we have three children, and I was there for the delivery of all three of our kids. I can't necessarily speak for Josie, and I forgot to ask her, but I'm 96, 97% sure that she's glad the children were not born fully grown. Is that true? 100%. 100%. Ladies are glad the children are not born fully grown, considering my son is taller than my wife. We're born spiritually small, but then we have to, it takes time. Children grow. We have to commit to the take time to grow. It takes time for a Christian to grow. And here's a timeout. It's not in my notes, so just hold my notes right there. When a new Christian is still struggling, they have fallen in their walk. Let's stop being the church that shames the baby Christian for getting drunk, getting high, sleeping with somebody they're not married to, still looking at movies that have sexual immorality or witchcraft or whatever, flipping you off as they drive out of the parking lot. I know I made them giggle, and y'all were the mature ones. Let's stop being the church of mature people that shame the baby for falling down. Instead, let's be that loving family member that picks them up and teaches them how to walk. Amen? I'll also say this, and I've already hit on this. We never stop growing. If you've been saved 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and you're like, I've learned everything. I know the Bible perfectly. I know the character of God perfectly. I am practically perfect myself. No, friend, we never stop growing. You can't take your foot off the gas. If you're trying to get from Los Angeles to New York and you set off with a full tank of gas and you stomp on that thing because you're gonna hit the desert and you can do 85, 90 miles an hour and you're, well, not in California because it's a liberal state, but when you get into Nevada, you can. Anyway, some places are police states, you know, the communists, the People's Republic of California. Did you see what they did? Hey, half of y'all are from California. You came here for a reason. Is it the California people clapping? That was cool. I'm probably going to edit that out of the video. How did I get off of making fun of California? Oh, if you're starting off in LA, you hit the desert, speed limits go to 85 miles an hour, man, you stomp on the gas. You're never going to make it to New York if you take your foot off the gas. You're never going to make it to New York if you don't refuel. That's another sermon in there. Run the race all the way to the end. Run the race until you're 99 years old and you just gently fall asleep with your family surrounding you to worship music and the Lord just picks you up in his arms. Run your race spiritually to the end. You never get to give up on this thing. I heard a story recently, this is a little bit while back. I was talking to a couple and I said, tell me your story. And she told her story and it was sweet, nice, and cute. And then he told me his story and then he got to a part where I could tell if he was debating to tell me. And I don't push people. Yes, I do. So I was like, just what happened? And he got a little choked up. He said, well, you know, I was raised in a Christian family and, you know, we moved around a lot because of dad's work. And my parents, man, they were the model marriage. They loved each other. They loved God. We were, even though we moved around a lot, we always found a local church. We always plugged in. You know, we loved being a Christian family. But I went to school and I was off living on my own and my dad, they had moved, new city, new office, new people, didn't plug into a church right away, was going through a spiritual desert. And after 29 years of marriage, he had an affair with a gal at the new office. And he was complete, it went on for a little while. And then he repented of his sin, and he repented before God, and he repented to his wife and to his family, and his wife had such love and such grace and forgave him, and they recommitted their covenant with one another, and now they're into their 30th-something year of marriage, and God is good. But for me, that lesson, and I was able to challenge this young man in their marriage, You never get to take your foot off the... You would think if you've made it to 28 and a half years of godly marriage, you're in the clear. You have to always be pushing yourself to grow in your faith, to be plugged into a local church, to be in your word, to be in worship, to be living holy. Because this guy, after 29 years, let his guard down. You never get to take your foot off the gas. All right, to finish up, four truths of what spiritual growth is. Number one, it's going to take some time. Number two, it's going to take effort. I wasn't sure if I should read this or not. Yeah, I'm actually doing pretty good on time. So you guys know the old footprints in the sand, right? Old people know that. Young people, Google footprints in the sand. It was a thing in the 70s that everybody had hanging in their house, right? We did. Okay, good. Everybody, some of you are like, I still have mine. So it's time to remodel. So footprints in the sand was this story about a guy who was walking on the sand and he could see his footprints and the Lord Jesus' footprints. And all of a sudden, I went through this terrible trial in my life and there was only one set of footprints in the sand. Wah. Lord, where were you? And the Lord says, the reason there was only one set of footprints is because I was carrying you. I found another one that has to do with this. One night, I had a wondrous dream. One set of footprints there was seen, the footprints of my precious Lord, but mine were not along the shore. But then some stranger prints appeared, and I asked the Lord, what have we here? Those prints are large and round and neat, but Lord, they are too big for feet. Oh, my child, the Lord said with somber tones, for miles I carried you alone. I challenged you in your walk of faith, but you refused. You made me wait. You disobeyed. You would not grow. The walk of faith you would not know. So I got tired. I got fed up. And I dropped you there on your butt. Because in life there comes a time when one must fight and one must climb. When one must rise and take a stand or leave their butt prints in the sand. Amen. The religious people gave us an amen. I think sometimes the Lord challenges us to grow spiritually, and we don't wanna. We wanna do our own thing. And he carries us. Now, this is not necessarily biblical. The Lord will always carry you. But there are times when we choose to sit down in the sand and dig our heels in, and the Lord is wooing us. He is begging us. He is challenging us. He is encouraging us to grow, to know, to grow, to do what he's called us to do. And all we want to do is complain, and we fight against the Lord. And like, well, I'm being too challenged at this church, so I'll switch churches to one of those milquetoast churches that doesn't try to push me too hard. And we try to lower the bar of holiness. We try to lower the bar of faith. We try to find the widest narrow path. We try to find the biggest eye of the needle. We try to find the easiest way to still be a Christian. And we're still drinking milk when the Lord's called us to go to meat. Now, there's two different analogies that I'm going to mix with, because milk is good, obviously, for a baby. And then meat as we grow, because you live in Texas now, California people, get down with some barbecue. But there is, Peter uses the same analogy, but he encourages us to cry out for milk. You ever see a baby get hungry after just 2-3 hours and that scream, like that guttural, just it goes down your spine scream because the baby's hungry? That's what Peter wants us to do in our faith as we grow and we cry out. Look at 1 Peter 2:2. Like a newborn baby, you must crave spiritual milk. Why? So that you can grow into the full experience of salvation. You should cry out for nourishment. Cry out for the word of God. Cry out for podcasts that teach you the word. Cry out for a good Bible conference. Cry out to be in church. Now that you've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Church family, I'm telling you, it's time to grow up. Wherever you are, it's time to take another step. Why? Because we are one body. We are one body. And it's weird if the leg is 6 feet longer than the other leg. It's weird if you have one finger that's 3 feet long because it's growing so much and the other 9 fingers are like, just slow down, freak. Why don't we all grow Why don't we all push ourselves to grow, to become the men and women of God that we've been called to be, to become men and women of the word and of love and of the kingdom and of power and of his presence and of holiness. We're one body. God has called us to do this thing together. Number three, growth takes change. Most people hate change. They don't like change. We like what we like. We eat what we eat. We do what we do. But God says, bro, I'm calling you to change because if you'll trust me, tomorrow is going to be better than today. Well, today was pretty good, Lord. I don't know if you could out. It's God. He can do better tomorrow. Trust him. Change. Be willing to move forward. Move your life forward. Move your faith forward. Move your marriage forward. Your family forward. Even moving your secular career forward. When you do it as a son and a daughter of the Most High God, he's going to move you forward. That's what God does. God's never sitting still. God's always on the move. From mercies to mercy, glory to glory. Every day, he's going to push us a little bit further. Go all the way back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 12, God is enacting his plan of salvation for the whole universe. And he calls a man named Abram. He's like, listen, Abe, leave your country. Leave your family. Go to the place that I lead you. What if Abraham would have sat his butt in the sand and said no? This was a big ask. There was no FaceTime for Abraham to call back home. Hey, how's the family doing? How's mom? How's Uncle Ricky? You know, like, he just said, yes, Lord, I will go wherever you send me. I'll do whatever you tell me to do. He was obedient to go, to move out, because there's no growth without change. I remember Joshua's 6 foot tall now, but he was 5'5" until his junior year of high school. He was just a late grower, but the kid grew 6 inches in like 10 months. Do you know what we had to do? Buy him new clothes, like every 2 months. Buy him new shoes. And for a little while, it's uncomfortable until you change and you grow and you go up to the, and you know what? I'm just gonna be honest. I put this as a reminder in my notes. I'm challenging you, I'm encouraging you, but I'm gonna stop begging you. God is amazing. And if you want to live for him, if you want to grow to become the man and woman of God you've been called to be, that's the best thing you could ever do. If you're going to try to be some sort of milquetoast, mamby-pamby, lazy Christian, you know what? Go find a milquetoast, lazy church. Because I'm developing an uncommon church of people with uncommon faith, an uncommon love for God, an uncommon pursuit of the kingdom of God. Preacher, you're not going to grow your church if you tell us to go to a lazy church. You either get on board or get off the train because I want to see our city transformed by the gospel. Common won't work. It was uncommon for Jesus to take our sin to the cross because we're not worth doing that for. I'm not. But he did it because he loves us. He made an investment in loving us when we're not worthy of that investment because he loves us so much. So as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord in an uncommon way. We'll worship God in an uncommon way. We'll pursue God in an uncommon way. We're gonna give generously, well and beyond our tithe in an uncommon way. We're gonna love our community in an uncommon way. We're gonna love visitors to this church in an uncommon way. We're not just growing personally, we're growing as a church family. And I'm so excited, I wanna move forward. If you don't wanna move forward, I'm gonna stop begging you. If you look around, you're like, where'd everybody go? Man, we're down the road, we're into uncommon. None of that was in my notes. Number four. Growth takes help. I got a call this week from Sri Lanka from a pastor that said, hey, pastor, can you help a young man? Now he's in his 20s and he wants to go to Bible college, but he needs a little help. I said, what's his story? He said, both of his parents were killed in the tsunami 15 years ago. I was like, so he's been an orphan. We've raised him. Children need family to help them mature, to help them grow, whether it's natural family or adopted family or foster family. Little people need big people to help them. We need to be surrounded to help ourselves grow spiritually. But so many people, they refuse to be involved in community. They refuse to be a part of a New Life group or a dream team or really plug into the church. But let me give you one more verse, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. Then they will no longer be like immature children who have been tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies that are so clever they actually sound like truth. Instead, we're going to speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Jesus Christ, who is the head of this church. Well, how are we going to do that? How are we going to grow? Because he makes our whole body fit together perfectly. And if everyone does their own special part, their own special work, it helps all the other parts to grow so that the entire whole healthy body can grow to become fully mature and full of love. We need you. We need you to be a part of this church family because our body, our church, fits together well. And if you're new and if you're visiting and if you're looking for a church family, we've got plenty of room for you to help us grow, to become stronger. How can we change our city if we're not in a community? How can we be full of joy if we're not in community? Final verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Dear New Life Family Church, be joyful, grow to maturity. Encourage each other. Live in harmony and peace with one another. Then the God of love and peace is going to be with you. Man, I want God's presence in this place. The Bible says that iron is what sharpens iron. We need to rub up against each other. How are we going to do that if we're not in a New Life group? We got to rub up against each other. How are we going to do that if we're not involved in a dream team together and loving on each other? All right, super practical tips. Now I am over my time. Doggone it, I shouldn't have done that long thing where I got all hostile in the middle. All right, super practical, but if you remember from last week, you can't make a religion out of these. You have to do this, these little tips because you want to, not because you have to. Because you're like, I get to grow in my faith, okay? So these are people that do these things generally. I've never seen somebody fall away from their faith, backslide, cheat on their taxes, have an affair, you know, whatever, while they're doing all these things. Because they're pursuing, they're growing. Read your Bible every day. Talk with God. Develop that prayer life. Use other resources. Listen to podcasts. Listen to a sermon over and over again till you get it and apply it to your life. Be baptized in water. Complete the New Life growth track. Join a New Life group. You can go to the table in the back and look at all the groups that are going to be for the fall semester. They start in about 2 weeks. Serve on one of our dream teams. Get plugged in and start using the talents that God's given you to serve our church, to serve our community. Be a tither. You take that first 10% of your income and you give it to the Lord and you give offerings over and above that, not because you have to, but because you want to be invested in those things. Go through our Encounter weekend. We have a Friday night and all day Saturday thing that we do quarterly. We do it 4 times a year. If you've ever been through junior high, you need to go through the Encounter weekend. Because if you've ever experienced anybody who has lied about you or hurt you or talked down about you, or you've maybe lost a loved one, or you've lost a marriage, or you know, you've grown up in a super religious environment, or you've grown up in a not super religious environment, the Encounter weekend is gonna help you get healing in your heart. You need to learn to share your faith. When you share your faith, you grow so fast, so strong. And I've already talked about it in my introduction, pray with strangers. Just offer to pray for people at the gas station, wherever you go. Get a passport and go on a missions trip. Get a passport, go on a missions trip. Hop up on your feet. That help you this morning to grow? Two people. I'm glad I do this for a living. Yeah. And it was the religious people. What are you gonna do? Because you know they were probably faking it. Anyway. Amen. My. I joke around a little bit, but I tell you what, I love him. Man, I love him. I'm crazy about him. I'm his biggest fan. I think he's amazing. I want to grow. I want to read my Bible. I want to worship. I want to live holy. I want to be a part of a great church. I want to transform our city. I want to live an uncommon life, be a part of an uncommon church. I'm hungry for more of these things. I want God to move in my life, in my family, in my church, and in my city, and around the world. I hope you'd be willing to go on a journey with us. I'm sick of apologizing for the church. Not our church, but the church in general. I think the church is the greatest thing that Jesus ever left on the earth. We have the power and the love of God and the ability to transform a community to become Jesus lovers, to really lift up the name of the Lord Jesus, to pray for people to be a light in the darkness. We're the hands and feet of Jesus. We are plan A and there is no plan B. Come on, somebody. I love the church. I want to be a part of a great church. All right, we got to pray and get some people born again. No, I'm not going to close your eyes. Listen to me. If you're here today and Jesus has not been the Lord of your life, but today you're like, doggone, man, I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. There's sin that's been separating me from God, and I'm going to repent. I'm going to give it to the Lord, and I'm going to give him my unholiness and take on his holiness. Whether it's the first time in your life you've ever prayed a prayer like this, or maybe it's been a minute. You've been out of church for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, and you've allowed your heart to grow cold. Let me also speak to this. Some of y'all get saved every week. Although that helps our numbers, it also messes up our numbers. You don't have to get saved every week. If you pray and make Jesus the Lord of your life on Sunday, and you stub your pinky toe and say the F word on Tuesday, you're still saved. You see what I'm saying? You're a saint, not a sinner. You may have sinned a little, but that doesn't take away your title as son and daughter of the Most High God. Now, if you're a lunatic and you totally disregard your faith and you walk away and you just stub your toe all day long screaming the F word, then you're an idiot, first of all. You're a crazy person. But if you no longer believe Jesus is Lord, but if you believe Jesus is Lord and you sin a little, go to the Lord in prayer immediately, as soon as the swelling goes down. Say, Lord, I'm so sorry. Forgive me. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have lied. I shouldn't have gotten angry. I shouldn't have said what I said or did what I did. Forgive me. Wash me. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And then move on. You don't have to get saved every single Sunday. But some of you need to get saved today. You need to ask Jesus to forgive you. First time in a long time. Raise your hand up real high so I know who I'm praying for. We'll all pray here in a minute. I see your hand and I see your hand and I see your hand and I see your hand. Anybody else? Anybody over here? I see your hand. I see your hands. Anybody else? I see your hands. Anybody else? Come on, somebody. Good. Jesus. Come on. I try to make it easy on you by closing your eyes every week. Crud, I'm just going to do eyes open all the time. More people get their heart right to Jesus. All right. So you six or seven and everybody in here, let's pray. Let's close our eyes. Let's think about the Lord and his goodness. If you believe it in your heart, pray this out loud after me. Say, Dear Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. I repent. I turn from my wicked ways and I turn to you. Be the Lord of my life, the Savior of my soul, the lover of my heart. I receive the gift of eternal life. So help me to grow in my faith, in my hunger for you, for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, if you believed it in your heart, you six or seven people that raised your hand, come on, somebody.